We are continuing our series in Corinthians. Paul started this letter by saying, I am writing to God's church. And I want to make sure to put that front and center so that we always remember that we are not Carlisle's church. We are not Pastor Matt's church. We are not the Pastor's Council church. We are God's church first and foremost. This morning I want to kick things off with a little game. I'm going to call it I Prefer. This is typically called this or that, and if we were at youth group or if we were at camp, what I would do is I'd get everyone to stand up, stand in the middle of the room, and you would go to this or that. But this is Sunday morning, and I know that you guys have had a long week, so you can stay seated. What we're going to do instead is on the screen, I prefer statement is going to come up. And if you agree with the statement, I want you to put your hand up. And if you don't agree with the statement, you can keep your you just leave your hand down. I was really hoping Jim was going to be here. There's a few questions that I think him and I have a vested interest in. And even though there's no right or wrong answers, there might be some that have right or wrong answers. I'm just kidding. This is all just for fun. So with that, let's get started. Start off with something easy. I prefer Pepsi over Coca-Cola. Hands up. Wow. Okay. It was a slow reaction, but that's okay. Wow. Wow. Okay. Not a lot of Pepsi lovers in here. I prefer the Rough Riders over the Blue Bombers. I was hoping for more of a reaction, but good job, everybody. Take notes on who didn't put their hands up. I'm looking at you, Ken. I prefer sweet food over salty. Definitely not me. Salty all the way. I prefer sweet foods over salty. On date night, I prefer to stay in and watch a movie over going out for supper. And if you're not seeing anybody, just what would you prefer in the event you were seeing somebody? I prefer to stay in and watch a movie. Hands up. Okay. I prefer Apple phones over Android. I gotta take some notes. Keep your hands up. Don't put them down yet. Right there. I see you, John. I prefer a paper Bible over a digital one. Okay. Yeah, there's some that are like, yeah, I could go either way there. Okay, so in all seriousness, I wasn't taking notes, obviously. But in a complete honesty, would any of those things be worth breaking up a marriage over? Now, I'm sure that if I did my research, I'm sure I could find scenarios because our culture is so riddled with divorce and almost looking for opportunities to split. I'm sure I could find scenarios where people have divorced over these things. Are any of these things worth losing a friendship over? Jonah, you need to come see me later, okay? Are any of these things worth breaking up a church over? Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, these things are all simply preferences, but they're not life-altering, they're not relationship-altering, they're just minor things. But I want you to keep that word preference in mind, because even though these things may seem really small, there are things in life that are simply just that, they're just preferences. But we give these preferences so much weight that they actually have the ability to create division. And you don't need to look very far in life, in news, in media, to know that our world is constantly on the verge of a fight or an offense or a breakup. We are so divided as a culture. And as we're going to see this morning, as Paul reminds us, church, we are not called to be divided. We are called to be united, and to use a good church cliche, because there's more that unites us than divides us. But we're going to look at four things that have created division within the Corinthian church. Paul needs to address it because they're serious enough. But as all things, there's nothing new under the sun. And what has divided the church in the past continues to linger in the church 2,000 years later. And so we're going to look at these things And more importantly, we're going to look at how Paul addresses them. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you willing to put your preferences aside for the sake of unity? Are you willing to put your preferences aside for the sake of unity? A unity in the church, unity in your marriage, unity with your family. Are you willing to sacrifice, to use a good, strong Bible word, sacrifice your preferences in favor of unity? So with that, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are starting at verse 10. And we will be going through right through to verse 17. If you have your Bible, if you have the app, it's all there. But otherwise, it will be on the screen no matter how you are joining in. So with that, let's dive in. 1 Corinthians verse 10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others say, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Now, Paul starts off, and this is going to be a theme that is going to underlay the entire message. Because as we go through Corinthians, there are time and time again be these things that pop up that threaten the unity and the harmony of the church. And Paul starts it off, and he's not going to say it as blatantly and as clearly as he did right now, but we need to be unified in thought and purpose. We need to work in harmony. He says that Chloe, which is really interesting, as much as I want to dive into it this morning, we'll get into it later. Significant that he recognizes it as Chloe's household. He doesn't use the husband, he doesn't use the man's, he uses Chloe's household. In a patriarchal society that Paul is writing in, it is no small thing that he addresses Chloe of all the people that were in her household. But he lists off these divisions. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, I follow Jesus. And in our modern society, in our modern day, it sounds like these guys are just listening to different podcasts, right? Like, I've been following Paul's podcast for a while, and I just like the way he preaches. I like the things that he addresses. This other group, well, Apollos is my pastor at the church, so I like the way he preaches. I listen to him, so I'm aligned with him. Peter, Apollos and Paul had direct contact with the church. Peter had never been to the church, but Peter is the pillar. He's the rock on which the church is going to be built on. And so it's like I've been watching Peter's live stream on YouTube for a while, and I really like Peter's approach to things. And of course, the good old Sunday school answer of who do you follow? I follow Jesus, right? Like, I only follow Jesus alone. And this is the group that gathers around their Bible and they're reading the red letters only, right? You've heard of this, right? I'm a red letter guy and nothing else matters. I hate to break it to you. The whole Bible is inspired by God, not just the things in red, okay? Just wanted to let you know about that. But then we have to take this little bit of a step back and realize this isn't the 21st century. There's no podcast, there's no YouTube, there's no smartphones. The church probably doesn't even have a copy in the building. Not that they met in a building, they probably met in a house. There is none of these things of the luxuries that we enjoy in the 21st century. And so are they just saying they like this person? Well, maybe. Maybe it's just that simple of a preference thing. I prefer when Apollos was here. I prefer when Paul was here. I prefer Peter and Jesus had never actually physically been to the church. Jesus was there in spirit, obviously. So there's got to be something more going on. And as we dive in a little bit deeper, we realize that what Paul's addressing isn't necessarily followers of the people, but it's groups that have banded together around the things that identify that these men stood for. So number one, Paul the missionary. Paul is infamous then and infamous now for traveling up and down the Roman Empire planting churches. Paul was relentlessly evangelistic. We're going to get to in chapter 9. He says, I was all people. all things to all people that I might save some. And that kind of approach to ministry is appealing to people. And it continues today. There will always be that group in the church that says, we don't do enough outreach. We're not in the community enough. We need to do more. We need to get outside of our walls. We need to be engaged. And it doesn't matter how much the church does, this group always wants more. Sacrificially wants more. Wants you to get outside and do the work of an evangelist all the time. Sacrifice funds, sacrifice programs. Just get outside the church. Paul, the missionary. Number two, Apollos, the preacher. Apollos was known for being highly intelligent and very well-spoken. And this was one of the things that characterized the city. Corinth was a center of philosophy where they would exchange thoughts and ideals. So many guys are well-spoken. Hi! Many people are well-spoken. Many people are very intelligent. So this group is gravitated towards Apollos. And again, the church has, my daughter used to do the same thing. There are always people in the church that are like, we need deeper Bible study. We want the sermons to go deeper. We don't want all this surfacey stuff. We want more. We want more. We need to go deeper. Well, newsflash for those that are the deeper group. Deeper doesn't mean knowing more. Deeper means actually the scripture asking more of you to get active. But anyways, that's a whole other thing. Stay off the soapbox, Matt. They want more. They want deeper. They want to just dive in. They don't want to do anything else. They don't want to do outreach. They don't want to do all this sacrificial stuff. They just want to study the word. And that's the kind of group that Apollos would have invited and been attractive to. Peter the disciplinarian. Peter was almost legalistic in his approach. He would frequently say in his letter in 1 Peter that you should be of such good character that anyone that accuses you of doing wrong, they would be found a liar. Peter had a very strong understanding of what was right and wrong and what was good conduct when it came to a believer. And that kind of preaching and teaching is appealing to a certain group of people. We like legalism. We like structure. We like being told what to do. Because legalism comes with this sense of control. And who doesn't like having a little bit of control in life? And so Peter's approach of being disciplined, it would always attract a certain kind of person. And so that's what this group would be identified by. And this continues on today. This is the group that knows when you stepped outside. They're the ones who are quick to point out, you shouldn't be doing that if you call yourself a Christian. Forget that Jesus is about grace and mercy. And so Peter the disciplinarian, Peter the legalist, and Jesus the king. As much as this seems like such a noble group to be a part of, this group was actually very anti-authoritarian. This is the group that says, I don't have to follow Caesar, I don't have to follow the police, I don't have to follow the army because Jesus is my king and he comes first and no one else can tell me what to do. And that group has continued on. This group is the one that's like, is they're the most critical of the government. Whenever they feel like the government's overstepping, they're taking away my God-given rights, right? That's this group. And if you don't share in their rebellion and their anti-authoritarian, you can't be part of the group. You're not radical enough. You don't love Jesus enough. And it's what it really is it's just Jesus being used as the scapegoat to be the rebellious, stick-it-to-the-man kind of attitude that many of us are prone to. These are not old things that have been passed away. They are very much alive today. And one church, I have to be completely honest with you. I have seen all four of these at work in my time of ministry. And I wish when I said that, it meant that in my 15 and a half years of pastoring, I've seen it. But that's not what I'm saying. Actually, it's 16. It's officially 16 years I've been in ministry. I've actually seen all four of these at work in the 5 years that I have been back at one church. I have had people coming into my office. We need to do this outreach thing. It's not a good time right now. We're focusing on this. And what happens? I don't see that person again. They stomp off because I don't share in their passion for this. I get emails, we want more Bible studies. And so we incorporate a midweek Bible study and we do a deep dive of the book of Romans or whatever we dive into. And who doesn't show up? Well, that's not what I wanted. If you would have done what I wanted, then I would have come. Or if you would have picked the day that I wanted, I would have come. I have watched as people have been chased out of the church because of a self-righteous idea of right and wrong, and someone's not lining up to it. And so the Peter group rises up and make sure they make their opinion and their thoughts known. And maybe they don't leave the church, but the people that they are passing judgment on leave the church. And Jesus is king. I have had so many phone calls, primarily in the early years with the whole COVID pandemic thing. Phone calls from people saying that if you continue to make us mask and you continue to make us space, I'm taking my tithe and going to another church. That's the exact words that are used. I'm taking my money somewhere else. Well, guess what? We don't rely on the tithe, we rely on the provision of God. Yes, you are called to be obedient, but we know who our source is. So your threat is going to fall on empty ears, I'm sorry to say. All four at work, rising their heads, and all four of them can be reduced to nothing more than preferences. And am I saying that any of them are bad? No. Should we be being evangelistic and being reaching out? Absolutely we should. Should we be diving into God's word and uncovering the deep treasures that are found in there? Absolutely we should. Should we be disciplined in our faith and make sure that we're practicing things like prayer and reading God's word and pray? Absolutely we should. And most importantly, should we recognize that Jesus is the Lord of our church? Absolutely we should. But we need all four of them in balance, and they need to come into alignment with purpose. And when our preference trumps purpose, that's when we have the problem. And so I asked at the beginning, are you willing to put your preference aside for the sake of unity? Because none of those four things, as good as they are worth creating division in the church. It wasn't good. There weren't good reasons back in Paul's day, and they're not good reasons now. Continuing on, Paul says this, "Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized?" Oh, hello. "Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. For now, no one can say they were baptized in my name. Oh, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else." Paul, just being Paul. "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power." Paul, in the course of this passage, identifies the three things that unites us. The wholeness of Christ. Christ is not divided. The sufficiency of the cross. Its power to save. Its power to wash away our sins. The power of Jesus' death on the cross to save. It is the one thing that unifies us. And above all, he starts off, "I speak to you in the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus." God, Jesus as functional Lord of our life. And I want to park on that one this morning as time starts to wrap up. Because I think what happens in the West is we love the idea of Jesus as Savior. We love the idea that Jesus comes and wipes the slate clean and punches our passport so we can get into eternity when the time comes. But we forget that Scripture tells us that He is Savior and Lord. And what does it mean to be Lord? It means that Jesus is Lord of your finances. He is Lord of your life. He is Lord of the way you speak. He is Lord of your thoughts. He is Lord of it all. Because if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Let me say that again. If he is not Lord of everything of your life, then he is not the Lord of your life. Whoever is making the decisions, whoever has the trump card, that is Lord. And 99% of the time, it's us. Are you willing to sacrifice your preferences for the sake of unity? Are you willing to lay down your preferences to walk under the lordship and leadership of Jesus Christ? And so this week, my challenge for you is to take time to pray and ask yourself that question. Where have I allowed preferences to create division where there's supposed to be unity? Where have I allowed my preferences to get in the way of my marriage? Where have I allowed my preferences to get in the way of my relationship with my kids or my parents? Where have I allowed my preferences to disrupt the unity of the church? Because Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The devil loves a divided church because a divided church is a powerless church. That's why Paul is going to take the entirety, almost the entirety of Corinthians, encouraging us, church of God, to be united in thought and in purpose. So where have you allowed your preferences? And I want to just finish with this thought. There is a difference between peacekeeping and unity. Peacekeeping often looks like this is going to turn into a fight. I don't want to fight, so I'm just going to bottle up and I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep the peace for the sake of my sanity and everything that's going on in the house. What happens when we bottle it up? The bottle's only got so much room, and eventually it's going to come out anyway. Versus unity, Paul says in Ephesians that unity is worth fighting for. Unity is worth having the hard conversations for. Unity is worth working at. So where have you allowed your preferences to disrupt unity? Where have you chosen to keep the peace in favor of fighting for unity? And I want you to show you, I want to end with this. I know I said I was going to end with the last thought. I'm going to end with this thought, actually. I want to show you how quickly preferences become a problem. So I have heard through the grapevine, because no one's actually said it to me, that during our worship time, when we sing in songs, the music's too loud. I've heard that. Someone has said it to someone, and it eventually gets back to me. That is a preference thing, that the music's too loud. But I want you to know that it is intentionally, it is loud on purpose, because I know that most of you sing with the voices of angels, and all of you are qualified to be on the stage. But for the few of us that sound like a cat scratching the chalkboard, right, it's a good thing that Jesus wrote, make a joyful noise, not a beautiful one. Okay, that's my group right there. For those, and we know it. Right? You know if you don't have a nice voice. For those of us that don't have a nice voice, we will sing out to the Lord as long as no one's listening, but there's someone right beside me, and they're going to hear me, and they're going to be like, ooh, I'm going to sit somewhere else next week, right? Like, that's what gets in our brain. And so what do? We turn up the music. We make it loud so you can't hear each other, so that you have the freedom to worship as God has called you to worship. It's on purpose. If the music's louder, we can't hear you. You're welcome. Some of you want to hear, okay? But some of us, if we're honest, we turn the music up. Do you know what the next step is? We turn the lights down. Why? So we can't see each other. Because I know some of you want to groove, right? Some of you really want to get into it. But you don't want to do it because you look around and everyone's got their hands in their pockets and look like a bunch of statues. So we turn the lights down so that you can groove and nobody can see it. We turn the music up so we can't hear you. We turn the lights down so we can't see you, so that you can worship as God calls you to worship. It's on purpose. You're welcome. But preference, even something like the music, can get in the way of the unity that God has called us to. So if you have questions, and if we're disrupting your preferences a little bit, come talk to me. Because maybe we're doing something wrong, but chances are it's been well thought out. We actually do it on purpose.
because we want, as a church, to create a space where you feel safe to worship and express yourself and grow in your relationship with the Lord. Are you willing to put your preferences aside for the sake of unity? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Jesus, I thank you that we can dive into your word, and it is a mirror onto our lives that we can look and see that there's something wrong and we can correct it. And even though this might have made some of us uncomfortable, even though this may have made some of us a little antsy, maybe because it poked at something, Father, I pray that we are sensitive and willing enough to address it, make the adjustments we need so that the church can be unified in the things that you've called us to be disciple makers, to be teachers, to spread your kingdom throughout our region. So Holy Spirit, I invite you to speak to each of us, reveal to us where our preferences have gotten in the way, so that we can be a church that is unified under your name and under your lordship. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.